you're not.
Not that I would know anything about
it. At the risk of looking for currying favor with the Holly, I'm going to use the word ubiquitous.
Welcome to Countless Screaming Argonauts. I am T-Fab P, the Fabulous Penguin.
And I'm old and in the way.
And I'm Denali Andros. <All right.
laughs> And this is episode 146 of Countless Screaming Argonauts, the podcast of record. Today is Monday, July 19th, 2010. Gentlemen, how are you today?
Old and in the way.
Well, you get a chance to... You get a chance to stretch that conservative side, Max.
Yeah, I'm going to be conservative.
I got a couple of interesting ones for you. Well, right. We've talked a little bit about it at times. All right, let's start out with the U.S. Court of Appeals this past week. This week said that the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, their rules on indecency are too vague. And they violate the First Amendment, undermining the government's primary tool for policing civility over the airwaves.
All I know is I don't know what pornography is, but I know it when I see it, and this is it.
Right. Broadcasters such as Fox, CBS, and ABC petitioned the court to challenge the FCC's muscled-up approach of imposing steep fines for impromptu expletives and sexual content.
I did see some conversation about this on the weekend's political shows.
Right. The judges said the FCC is not clear enough and that they are clear enough on what's permissible or not. And the example they used was that the FCC would not allow NYPD Blue to use the phrase bullshit, but allowed them to use the phrase kiss my ass.
Well, your seven words have levels of degree.
I guess.
Does that make sense? Levels of degree?
Levels of degree?
Degrees of severity?
Well,
I think
this
what
gets
you're
into...
saying is they have levels of severity, yes.
Tits is a friendly word. Motherfucker is not.
And
I mean,
and
we're talking about George Carlin here.
Right, we're talking about contemporary comedy standards.
Fuck me between my tits, you're not allowed to say.
No, you're not.
Not that I would know anything about it.
But according to one picture that I saw this afternoon, Jack Nicholson might know something about it.
Aha! Uh-huh.
You are a disgusting whore.
Oh, by the way, the reason I didn't laugh out loud right then is because I'm drinking Montezuma's Red Wing, and I highly recommend it. Yes, that's disgusting. Did you see that picture?
No, I did
not.
Our
friend Jack has been in better shape. Let's just put it
that. Well, you know, I think this whole thing raises the whole – it raises the issue of community standards. And right now, I would be willing to say that community standards are in an uproar because of conservative political movement and the religious right and everything that's going on there. And so, of course, people are going to be very, very confused about what's okay and not okay.
Well, if I may, I think where the rubber hits the road with this comes down to the contrast or similarity between broadcast television and cable. And when these rules were put into effect, I think cable was considered somewhat more rare and separate because you had to go out and get it. You had to buy it.
The way that people understood the rule, and it still applies if you look at satellite radio or whatever, is if you pay for it, you've made a choice to have that content delivered, so therefore it's not under the purvey of an aegis like the FCC. You asked for this. You paid for it.
Excellent. Well put.
Which is why the broadcast media, Fox, CBS, and ABC, had asked the court to deal with it right away. Because, as you remember, a Super Bowl halftime show with a clothing
malfunction.
right, resulted in a very, very stiff fine.
That was a stiff fine. I understood that this was more about, as they said, fleeting curses.
Apparently, Bono, in an interview on broadcast television,
yes,
said fuck.
It was the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Sure, right? Yeah.
Right. And you can't say fuck unless you're on HBO.
You can ask your friend Josh about the use of that word in the Irish vernacular. And Bono, he just spoke off the cuff. He was not in any way, shape, or form referring to an act of fornication, anything like that. It's a modifier in the vernacular, and I don't know how you have to pay $1 million just because Bono said feck.
Yeah. Right. Well, and that's another little sidebar issue that I think is interesting to explore. They didn't find Bono. They find the network.
Right. The thought being that the network should have had it on a delay so that was cut out.
Well, Bono is not broadcasting the program into 60 million homes.
Right. But we clearly know that the broadcaster has got no idea when he's going to say feck. I guess that.
Well, you know, if it's Bono, you kind of have to wonder.
It's really only a matter of time, huh? You know,
I guess.
At the risk of looking for currying favor with Denali, I'm going to use the word ubiquitous for a second time. Cable is ubiquitous. I just think at this stage in the technological history of television, the rules should apply to, at the very least, basic cable and broadcast networks.
So you, the liberal standard bearer of the podcast, are suggesting that rules that apply to broadcast television be broadened to apply to basic cable?
No, because I'm not saying that we shouldn't. I'm considering the possibility that we should extend the liberalization of the rules of cable television to broadcast.
Oh, you're going the other way.
I'm not sure.
I'm so proud of you.
I'm not playing for the other team. I'm just thinking out loud here.
What do you mean you're not playing for the other team? To say that to Denali, that's insulting.
Well, I didn't mean to insult Denali in any way, shape, or form. I'm just saying I think the rules should be the same. I'm for fairness.
Fabulous. I know exactly what team he's on. And I know exactly what team I'm on.
And are they the same team?
It's nothing new. And
there's no way fabulous I can win in this conversation.
Still fabulous. Ubiquitous, my ass. So you're saying you don't have a problem if Emeril Lagasse says, this is some great fucking pesto.
You know, I used to talk to my friend Dave and his oldest kid quite a lot. And his oldest kid, being younger and more liberal than I, said, I think everybody should say whatever they want. I think this whole censorship bullshit is bullshit. And, of course, I took the other side. We got to protect our children, blah, 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 blah. And I'm just not sure anymore.
Well, I mean, is this argument really what community standards are? Isn't that what this is?
Oh, I believe it is. It's very, very significantly cultural, and you can even go point to point, because we're just talking about the Irish who are speaking
fucking
English.
Bastard.
Yeah, that language is just, I mean, that would not fly in Selma, Alabama, okay?
Right, sure.
And this, you know, we talk about the French giving their kids wine at the dinner table when they're 9 years old and so
yeah,
on.
Yeah, but it's Red Wing.
It's not Montezuma, no. No.
But, you know, that and that sort of runs into the second story that I had. So hold that thought. Let me just start this one, and then we'll take off from there.
You are just segue, man. You know that you are.
I am today.
Remember that thought.
All right. Beatrice, Nebraska. Residents complained about a nearly naked female store mannequin, which prompted the police to actually move in and conceal the window, which started debate in town about obscenity. They covered the window at a – it was sort of like a thrift store – for a day last week after several people in the town of 12,000 complained about the mannequin who appeared in the window with a pair of pants around her ankles and wearing shoes but no other clothing. The owner of the store said, "Nothing about a naked mannequin constitutes obscenity. I think that we've all gone into a department store and seen a naked mannequin at one point in our lives.
And sometimes we rode the elevator to get back to that floor."
Right. Two or three times.
Yeah, maybe.
But
it
was the banana
between her tits that caused the problem.
So I would say that the community standards in Beatrice, Nebraska would be very, very different from those in New York City.
Well, I have to jump in here.
Max, if you don't jump all over this with First Amendment, you just won't be Max.
Well, yeah, of course First Amendment. But I was going more for the historical, because when obscenity became a national topic, it centered around Binghamton, New York, which is very near where I'm from. And at one summer, if I recall correctly, the Deep Throat trial was held in or around Binghamton, at the Federal District Court for Binghamton, whatever that was, where Deep Throat was found to be not obscene, and where whichever judge said, "I don't know what obscenity is, but I know it when I see it, and that's it."
The Southern District of New York ruled. Right. Initially ruled that it, but the Clinton Street Theater guy said, "I have the right to run the movie, and anybody who wants to come and pay for a ticket has the right to see it."
Right. And surprisingly, they found they couldn't decide what a community standard was. This community seemed to want this particular movie to be available, and it was. The ironic thing is that Alice Cooper was banned from the Broome County Arena that same summer because he was obscene.
Or so they said,
which just gets down to the fact of what you want to look at. And people were not interested in Alice Cooper, but they were interested in Marilyn Chamber.
Interesting.
And I have to assume that Marilyn's got a better rack than Alice Cooper.
I never was a big Alice Cooper fan anyway. I always felt like with Kiss, if you needed a gimmick to sell your music, then your music was weak on the face of it. But Marilyn Chamber wasn't weak.
So what does this whole thing about the FCC and even this thing about the mannequin, as well as your stories about Binghamton, say about the government's role in all of this? Obviously, the court system is involved in all three, and basically you get three different answers, right?
Well, yeah. Here's my take on this. First Amendment, I have to tip my hat to the First Amendment, right? You're right, Denali. But the thing that strikes me most about this is that the standards change through time as well. And that, I mean, let's face it, you can find pornography on the internet. I know that might be a shock.
No.
It's out there. If you look hard enough, you can find it. And there was no pun intended in that.
No Rule 34 pun.
That's right. As I watch, and maybe it started with NYPD Blue, but I have seen Dennis Franz's ass, which personally I think is pornographic. People are now frequently and with ease saying bitch and ass and the sort of softer words. In fact, I think I heard tits on the TV not so long.
Balls.
Balls is very common. And they're not talking about Kurt Gowdy and Tony Kubek here.
No, they're not. And 15 years ago, you wouldn't have heard any of that.
You couldn't have heard it. I think it's an open question should we protect little Johnny and little Janet from hearing the word balls? And if you say no, well, balls, that's no big deal.
Well, this goes back to our previous recording on the deep end. You know, how do you judge that 11-year-old girl then?
Well, my sympathy is
with the things that she was saying, I mean, and what she did. You know, I mean, again, community standards, that falls way, way below or above what we
just
say.
But
below
the Internet is pretty much uncensored. If you've seen Two Girls, One Cup, which I've seen the first 10 seconds of, I can't think of anything. Yeah, I can. But I can't think of much that I would want to censor more than that.
But that's not pornographic. That's disgusting.
Well,
no, I'm being serious.
No, you're 100% right. But let's define pornography if we're at it.
I know it if I see it.
Yeah.
That's Penguin's question. Pornography is that which exists outside the realm of what is considered good taste in the community. The government's there, Penguin, to answer your question as far as I'm concerned, to avoid chaos and hurt or harm to the average citizen.
So let's say the government should protect children. If you're an adult and you run across Two Girls, One Cup, turn it off. Is it psychologically damaging to an 11-year-old to see that? Maybe.
It could be.
Talk about your segues. I can't resist bringing this one up now.
All right.
All right. Now, Max, you just said the government's role – you can correct me if I quote you wrong – the government's role is to protect children.
Yeah, I think that's what I said. I'm not feeling like that's a weak statement.
All right. So the story that I have is regarding the School Food Trust in England.
Okay.
All right. The chairman of the School Food Trust in England said that parents are hampering efforts to cut obesity in children by sending them to school with chips, soda, and cookies. He said that the best solution would be for parents to pay for their children to eat healthy hot lunches in the school rather than sending them to school with boxed lunches. Mm. He also suggests that chocolates, chips, sugary drinks should be banned in packed lunches
to
school.
The role of government as parent versus the role of government as protector of sensibilities.
Right.
I'm not such a liberal that I feel like the government can parent or should parent. Although, you know what, if there's an orphan, I feel that it's the government's job to pick up that child and put it in a safe place. So in that case, the government is parenting.
Right.
So, I mean,
But the government is assuming the role of parent where there is no parent. There's a big difference between that and – please don't try Latin again. It reminds me of the Steve Martin character. It hurts my ears when you do it.
All right. It is a legal phrase that I heard in paralegal school.
Oh.
All right. Maybe it's pushing it too far.
There's no parent there, so there's a difference between being a parent, assuming the role of parent where there is no parent, and saying, "Who's your daddy?" There's a big difference. Mm.
Well, let's talk about that then. What is the role of the government?
That's a pretty broad question.
Is the government there to protect us? Is the government there to parent in the absence of parents? Is the government
part of
there?
The government's role is to protect its citizenry? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Is that a role model?
No stuff.
Hell no. No, come on, seriously. A red light is there. A stop sign is there, and that's the government. That's generally accepted legal practice, whether that's vehicular law or don't jump in the pool after 8 o'clock because there's no lifeguard.
Okay, but what is the difference then? That what difference is it that the government can say, you need to stop at this light for your safety when the light turns red, and say, you need to make sure that your kids don't have all of these bad foods for them because it makes them obese and they have shorter lifespans and it affects their health.
And if you believe that the government should protect the child from a shorter lifespan, do you then throw the mother in jail who is pregnant and smoking?
I'll tell you the difference.
Or
drinking? The difference is this. Any car that runs a red light at 30 miles an hour and hits a person is going to kill them.
Right.
Okay? That's pretty straightforward. However, my potato chips and my Hawaiian punch might not do any bad to me.
Right.
The interpretation of harm is what I think is the difference here, because I still have to be afforded the right to say I can harm myself unless and until you tell me that I can't smoke a cigarette. I can smoke a cigarette.
Right.
We all know damn well it's killing us.
All right, so let's extend that in the other direction. If you have a right to smoke a cigarette, don't you have a right to shoot heroin in your arm?
Yes, you do. If you can get it, you certainly do.
I think
But now we're not talking about the government. We're talking about free will.
Well, no, we're talking about freedom, because the government will put you in jail for putting heroin
in
your arm. That's
right. The government has made a determination that heroin is so harmful. Heroin is a speeding train or a car through a red light.
Mm-hmm.
So the government made the decision that was harmful enough to pass legislation in the common good.
I think, Denali, you are spot on, and that ultimately what we pay our lawmakers to do is to draw those lines. I think that's
Have you seen what ding-dongs can do to your bloodstream?
Sure.
What's
should
that thing about the things that are going to be left after the nuclear holocaust?
Cockroaches
and tinkies.
Ding-dongs.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you've seen what's-his-name's 30-day movie of trips to McDonald's.
Right.
He makes a strong
Supersized.
Case. What was it?
Supersize me.
He makes a strong case that McDonald's will kill you. And by the same logic, you should at least be able to tax McDonald's at a rate equal to taxing cigarettes, if not ban it outright, because it's going to kill you. But then, should you ban chocolate bars?
Or Coke. Pepsi.
So
yeah.
I think what we do is we hire people.
Hawaiian Punch. We hire people
to make these determinations. And the problem is that while we're hiring them, the large businesses like McDonald's are buying them.
And when you say hire them, you mean by voting them in, right?
Exactly.
But the FTC is there doing a job. There, you can certainly have an argument that it's not doing it well enough, or things move at a glacial pace or whatever.
Right.
But we do have an agriculture division. We do have
the FDA.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to say for the record, because you brought up the FDA, that there have been a group of libertarians who have said, let's get rid of the FDA, and I think that's fucking lunacy, just as a little side note.
I don't think you're supposed to say that on the podcast.
Well, this is why I like the interweb tubes, because I can say things like that without having a George Carlin moment.
Sure, you like it. What do you think they think of it in Alabama?
What about the rest of the community, right? What about the community?
Some 9-year-old happens to be listening. That's ridiculous. You harmful person.
Well, I only hope to be as gracious and genteel as you are when I grow up, Denali.
Can we have a time check?
We cannot have a time check because I'm having too much fun. I have this recording at 29 minutes. We were rolling for a little bit beforehand, so we got 5 minutes to go anyway.
The reason I ask is because I have one more story that I wanted to bring up.
I have a story as well.
That so, I thought might be a personal favorite of yours, Max.
All right. You feel like you're far away from me like you weren't before.
His volume hasn't changed.
Okay.
I'm telling you, there's no difference. At least that's to me.
Okay.
And
take
I
it out of post.
This, as far as I know. Yeah.
Fuck it.
No, I don't want him to start popping peas and stuff because, you know.
All right, so I got one more story.
All right, go ahead.
I know will tickle your fancy.
All right.
Okay, in the past November elections, one of the things that really got your goat, I know for a fact, was the fact that Al Franken really didn't make it to be a senator until, about January or February when the election?
Well, I think it was about 6 months later, but a good 6 months at least.
Okay, so the Minnesota Majority, a conservative watchdog group, just completed an 18-month study.
Do I give a shit what they think?
They found out that at least 341 convicted felons voted in the largely Democratic Minneapolis-St. Paul election in the 2008 Senate race between Franken and Norm Coleman. So they can't change the result of the election, but they are saying that they want to make sure that the integrity of the next election isn't compromised, and so they are trying they're trying to get all the voter rolls checked for
felons. What's the name of this group?
It's called the Minnesota Majority.
All right, you know what I had to say to them?
No, what?
Yawn. Next. Is there anything else? You got something better for me, more interesting than the Minnesota Majority?
No, I just knew it would get a reaction from you, though. I was just kind of trolling you, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's fine. I don't give a shit what they think. All right. Here's something that we all can get behind.
All right, but hold on a second. If it was a Republican that had won and Al Franken had lost and the Democratic group Minneapolis St. Paul Patriots had found 341 pig fuckers, you know, you'd be all over that, wouldn't you?
No, you know why? Because this was adjudicated. Norm Coleman took it to court and then took it to court and then took it to court again. And while I don't know who was a pig fucker and who was an ex-felon, I'm trusting the third branch of government, Article 3, to figure it out. They figured it out, and the pig fuckers can go home. I don't care.
Here, I'll give you this one. Res judicata.
All right. Very good. And I should know what that means. It's been adjudicated.
Has already been adjudicated.
Right. So they can go.
I thought it meant lesbian judges. Holy mackerel.
What?
Res judicata. I thought it meant lesbian judges.
Res judicata. R-E-S. In the midst of World Cup fever, readers might have missed Germany's win over host Barbados in June for the WAS Challenge Cup. Anybody ever heard of the WAS Challenge Cup?
No.
Following an eight-team polo tournament with players on not horses but Segways, the sport is said to have been created by Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak, whose Silicon Valley aftershocks competed again this year in the Barbados, who last won the World Cup in 2007. Wozniak told ESPN in Barbados, rather than in Barbados, Wozniak told ESPN that his own polo skills are fading. And if you've seen Woz on So You Think You Can Dance, you can believe it. But the San Jose Mercury News reported that in May that Woz's fearlessness on the Segway seems hardly diminished. So I just want to say a little tip of the hat to the Segway World Cup WAS Challenge Championship.
I rode one of those things for a couple hours in Disney, and they are a rip. It's hard at first, but then it's just like you, Max. You get the hang of it, and you're all set.
I don't know what that means, but I like it. I've been lobbying my boss for a couple of years to get me one of those because our building is a half a mile long, and I have occasion to go from one end of the building to the other. But basically, it came down to $5,000, and sorry, but no. When are they going to make these things cheap enough for government workers?
Buffalo cops have them.
Yeah, that's true. But at $5,000 a piece, you know, he could sell a million of these things at $2,000 or one. Did you keep the price that high?
Denali, did you rent it at Disney to try it out, or was it some sort of promotion or a trial or what?
It was called the Wilderness Trail Segway Tour.
Oh.
You paid for it, and you had a Disneytron in the front and in the back, and they took you all over, and they stopped, and they had little trivia questions. And what was Donald Duck's sister's name?
Daisy?
Daisy.
Drusilla.
Who?
Drusilla.
Oh.
Yeah. And they took you to different places that you wouldn't normally see, and everybody had a Segway, and they went through the little parking cones to start you off, and then you went on your way. It was really fun.
Well, aren't you the little explorer?
I got three more quick things.
So to speak.
Leave them or no?
Give us one.
All right. Well, there's two under the sobriquet of Great Expectations.
That's sobriquet.
I beg your pardon. You know what? Sooner or later, I'm going to...
Ambiguous.
I knew it was sobriquet.
Yes.
It was well into the Red Wing. I blame entirely on Montezuma.
That's flatulence. That's different.
All right. Well, then I'll just give you the last one. The prominent Howrah Bridge in Calcutta, India, has become – this is under Great Expectations, the category of Great Expectations – has become seriously a safety risk, according to May report from the Calcutta Port Trust, because steel hoods protecting the pillars holding up the bridge have been thinned by 50% in recent years. Engineers believe corrosion has been caused almost entirely by the chemicals in Gokhta, the popular chewing tobacco herb concoction, which produces expectorants routinely hocked onto the bridge by the 500,000 pedestrians who cross it every day.
Wow.
So basically the spit is deteriorating.
And the chewing tobacco is breaking the bridge. Holy
That's
cow.
Worse than pigeons on statues, huh?
Yeah. I don't know if we can raise our level above that. It's. I have to say, I've been in the Red Wing in the Montezuma pretty heavily tonight.
Well, I'm going to say thank you and good night for having me along.
Well, thanks
as
for
always,
being here, Denali. As always, it's a thrill and a delight.
It wasn't ambiguous at all, or whatever.
All right, you going to blast him for that?
There's a picture opposite me of my primitive ancestry.
Which stood on rocky shores and kept the beaches shipwreck free. Though I respect that a lot, I'd be fired if that were my job. After killing Jason off and countless screaming Argonauts, new bird of freedom.